Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be given unto thee, or richly multiplied unto thee, from God the Father, and from Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Congregation, we will start this morning's worship service with the singing of Psalter 229, the stanzas 1 and 5. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. O, how I long, yea, faint, to see thy hallowed courts, thy dwelling place. For thee my heart and spirit sigh, for thee, O living God, I cry. Mentioned to you Psalter 229, the stanzas 1 and 5.
Thank you.
scripture reading for this morning you can find in the epistle of Paul to the Galatians at chapter 3, the whole chapter. We mentioned to you Galatians chapter 3, but first we will read the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mentioned to you Galatians chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth unto you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are as are the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise.
Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. All-knowing and all-sufficient Lord, whom dwellest in the heavens, and whose eyes run to and fro throughout the entire world, who most perfectly knows each and every one of us, from the youngest to the oldest, how things are in our hearts and in our life, and who hast also seen how it has been in the week that lies behind, week that has gone by so swiftly, a week that starts and ends, and ach, what is then a week, and what is then our life? Lord, it is but short, and we are but frail, and we believe that for someone else. But may that become personal, Lord, for then it becomes a wonder that we are still in the land of the living, in the day of grace. Then it becomes a wonder that we may receive another Sabbath day, and that thou art not yet tired of walking after us and calling us to repent. and to seek thee while thou may be found, and to call upon thy name while thou art near. And then it becomes a wonder that thou hast not done with us according to what we deserve. For then that law that we just heard becomes as a mirror to look into, to show who we are before thy countenance, transgressors against all the commandments, bearers and worthy of the curse of the law that must condemn us. For cursed is everyone that continues not in the book of the law to do them. But then also that grief and that sorrow be born, that godly sorrow working repentance in the heart of one who is unconverted and who maybe tries to do everything but who cannot convert himself, who stands there before thy countenance as a guilty one, with the law testifying against us and our conscience testifying against us. And how can I now ever be reconciled with God? Lord, I may be seats of thee, that also for this day, that hour may come in the life of children, of young people, of adults and elderly, all traveling through to eternity. And Lord, we one day have to stand before thee, and that does not always go in the order of age. And we need to be prepared. May then thy house be or become that lovely place where thou dwellest, and where thou wants to speak and to proclaim thy word, that thou dost not have a desire in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked, that sinners may turn from their evil ways, and may not only outwardly ye turn ye, for why shall ye die, O house of Israel, but may her hear that inwardly in the heart, that we be stopped on that broad way and be brought on that narrow way, entering in through the straight gate of that life that thou givest unto the soul. Lord, now we beseech of thee that that hour of thy pleasure may come in the life of this one or that one, could it be many, yea, all in our midst. For there is an eternal fullness in thee. Lord, wilt thou then work mightily? Oh, we have not deserved it. But for thy name's sake, Lord, have mercy on us. Whoever we are, our children, they are not too young to receive that life and to seek thee. And our dear young people, they are not too young to seek thee. Thou knowest what lives in their heart. Maybe so busy with the things of time and sense, oh Lord, that would not have any longer the first place in their life and heart. maybe some indifferent being here because they have to, but thou art able to change that, and thou wilt send that arrow in their heart that is dipped in thy love to break it and to bring us on our knees before thee. Lord, wilt thou then remember them that that love may be shed in our hearts, and that a missing and seeking life be born, having no rest until we may find it in thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wilt thou remember adults and elderly. O Lord, we beseech thee, those still living for own account, wilt thou work in their heart, they are not too old and not too indifferent and not too cold. Oh, that fire of thy spirit can kindle their hearts. Lord, be with those that stand outside. Oh, that can only weep because of who they are, who have nothing but empty hands. Lord, wilt thou thyself guide them this morning from among our children, youth and adults, or whoever we are, that thy law may be our schoolmaster, and to Christ, him who is the end of the law, he who by his word and spirit brings a sinner also to the end of the law, that he may be revealed and may become precious, yea, that we may be baptized in him, that that old life may go under, and that new life, O Lord, that that may be seen. Wilt thou then be in our midst in this morning to help and to strengthen in listening, grant Aaron's and hers, that thy people may hear their name, that they may hear something of which they are not a stranger, but that they may also hear that there is more in thee, and that there is more to be received, that their heart may be longing and yearning the living God to see here in thy house. Help then thy servant, give him what he stands in need of, that he may receive in his heart. For also for thy servants it is true, without me, thou sayest, ye can do nothing. Then we can have words, but ach Lord, then it will be empty. But may it be as it truly is, thy word, that we then receive in the heart, but also in the thoughts and in the mouth, to proclaim that fullness that lies in thee for an empty people, and that thy servant may also taste of the things he is called to handle. Be with the entire congregation, with the sick and the needy and the afflicted, the old, the ones that struggle in their body, others in their mind. Oh, wilt thou uphold, Lord, and strengthen, and give all that is needed. And when in this morning thy word may be proclaimed, not only audibly but also visibly, where these parents are about to answer the questions and to vow a vow for the first time, O by renewal, Lord, may it be a wonder. May it be experienced hitherto tomb thou hast held. Oh, we take it so often for granted that we may receive children and that all may go well. But there are among these parents, Lord, and thou knowest, for whom that is not a matter of course, who have already one in the grave and now one before thy countenance to be baptized. Lord, give also unto them, but also unto the other parents, a heart that is overwhelmed. What shall I render unto the Lord also for these outward benefits, but also, Lord, help us in raising our child, in raising our children, who carry a soul along for eternity, and who all travel to that judgment seat to one day give an account. And we with them on how we have raised them. And then we all fall short. May our sufficiency then be of thee. Lord, give us then thy help in this morning. From the sanctuary. That all things may turn to thy honor. And to thy glory. We beseech thee. In the forgiveness of all of our sins, and only in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. We will now read the form for the administration of baptism. As you can find that on page 126 in the back of your folder. Form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopt us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all of our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without the knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith, and therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name in prayer. O almighty and eternal God, thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that they may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last they may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. May I ask the parents to stand up. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and now to our seed this covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end, and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded. You are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. And thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are father and mother, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer? Father Corvar, Mother Corvar, Father Stubby, Mother Stubby, Father Vermeeren, Mother Vermeeren. And the mothers may sit down. Beloved parents, when did you start to pray for your child? Was that after birth? Or is that once they come to the years of discretion? Or was that from the very beginning that you knew and felt life grow in the womb? There is a people, and we just heard it, and I hope it has echoed in your heart. We beseech thee. So that's a little deeper than just pray, that the Lord will make it all well, and that we may have this child and keep this child. We beseech thee means out of the need of the heart, because they realize that a child and we with them carry a soul along for eternity. We beseech, that means there is a need, an urgent need. And what is now that need of such a father and such a mother? Of such a soul upon whose heart is that is bound, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased. So not because we are a member of the church, and not because we are better than others. We beseech thee by thine infinite mercy. So where does now that wonder of heart-renewing grace come from? Because we are conceived and born in sin. And where does now that wonder of being born again come from? That comes from above. That comes from his infinite mercy. And there is a people on earth that will need an eternity to be wondered. That infinite, that means there is no end to it. All our mercy is not infinite. That is so little by nature. And even after received grace, infinite mercy, that he will look upon from above upon these children and incorporate them, so they are not by nature in Christ. They are baptized in his name, but they need to be incorporated as a dead branch, engrafted into a living tree. And you would say that that branch that can never bring forth fruit, but there is now that infinite mercy, and there is now that infinite wonder. Engrafted, incorporated into him. When does that take place? At God's sight, in the hour of regeneration. And that needs now to be learned in this life, in the way of the knowledge of God and the knowledge of self, and that making room for him, incorporated by the Holy Spirit. So what do you need? What do your children need? The work of God's Spirit in our heart. And now I hope, parents, But when you again pray for your child, for your children, that you may ask for the work of God's Spirit in their heart, for the work of God's Spirit in your heart. Because what does that do? Then those children and we with them will be buried with him into his death. That points to the mortification of the old man. That all that is not of God and Christ has to die. And may be raised with him in newness of life. That points to the quickening of the new man. That new life that he gives. And that is be revealed in the fruits. Buried with him. Raised with him. And when that takes place at this side of the grave, and that can also take place in the womb. You believe that? That there will come one day when a sinner dies, when he dies with him, that at the last day they may be raised with him. And then not only to newness of life, but then to eternal life. It is not dependent on baptism. But in baptism the Lord signs and seals what he wants to give and what he is able to give. And therefore, parents, may that be your heart. May that be your life. We beseech thee, undeserved, forfeited, but unto whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life eternal, that we may sit with our children and pray with them. That we may sit with our children and instruct them as you just have promised with a holy oath. To instruct and to have them instructed in the aforesaid doctrine. And who is now sufficient? Who is now able to these things? I hope you may say, not me, and that not only because you know that, but because you experience that. And then those words, we beseech thee, become lively. By thine infinite mercy. And the more the Lord teaches that, the more we need that infinite mercy. Dear parents, may that be your life. And may that one day be the life of your children, or become your life. And become the life of your children by that indispensable work of God's Spirit. Out of that fullness of his infinite mercy, making room for him. Who then says it, I live, and ye shall live. May the Lord bless you, and your family, and wherever the Lord has placed you, and make you a blessing. So be it, you may sit down. We will now sing from Psalter 444. Stanza 7, Jehovah's mercy floweth like a river from everlasting and abideth ever on those that love and worship him with awe. His righteousness shall bless the habitation of children's children through the generations that keep his covenant and obey his law. And after baptism of three children, we sing without a further announcement, standing the third of 436, his gracious blessings rest on all. So now the seventh of 444, and after baptism of three children, the third of 436, standing. Mera Fea Corvar, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Easton William Stubby, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Oliver Pete van Meren, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us close this baptism with thanksgiving. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise thee that thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and received us through thy Holy Spirit as members of thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech thee through the same Son of thy love that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they that may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness, under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee, and thy Son Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together from Psalter 425, the stanzas 4 and 5, Ye seed from Abraham descended, to whom his favors were extended, 4 and 5, and if needs be, we can also do the 6th. help of the Lord and awaiting His blessing, we want to draw your attention this morning, hour for a moment, to God's Word. Our text, as you can find that in our scripture reading, Galatians chapter 3, and thereof verse 29. Galatians 3, verse 29, where we read God's Word as follows: "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." And now we write under this text, God's children, heirs of the promise. God's children, heirs of the promise. And now we consider briefly this morning three thoughts. In the first place, who they were, because we read, "if ye are." So they were not that by nature, who they were. Secondly, who they are, Christ's, of Christ, that means property of Christ. He, their Lord, they, their children, and then who they will be, heirs of the promise, according to the promise. So God's children, heirs of the promise, who they were, who they are, and who they will be. Our text, beloved, has been taken from the epistle of the Apostle Paul unto the Galatians. And Galatia was a Roman province with a number of congregations established during the time of the missionary journeys, where the apostles went to proclaim God's words. Ministers sent to whom he wants and when he wants. Ministers who only can bring it to the ear, but it has pleased the Lord in his infinite mercy, by his Holy Spirit, to use that word as an arrow to pierce the ear and to break the heart. There were there in that Roman province a people who was converted by God and unto God. So the Lord has a people there, and the Lord has worked there. And now the Apostle Paul writes unto them a letter. Why? Was there a reason? Oh, he starts already with that in chapter 1. And he says, "I marvel," verse 6, "that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel." Those of whom Paul says that preferred the gospel of Christ. So there were even in that congregation, and there were even among God's children, who were shaken and who were tossed. Of whom Paul says, even in chapter 3, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth. This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith?" So obviously there were there in the congregations of Galatia heretics that brought forth the heresy of the Judaists, that said, "You want to believe in Jesus, that's fine, but do not forget the works of the law, because the works of the law, of the Old Testament law, are indispensable for your salvation." But if that be true, oh, then Paul says that Christ died in vain. If anything needs to be added from man's side, if we have to work ourselves up, then it would all be in vain, because then we will count the blood of Christ for an unholy thing. So Paul rebukes and admonishes the congregations in Galatia to stay with the solid truth, to stay with the sound doctrine, and to stay with only what the Lord teaches his children and what they may experience. And now Paul, he says it at the close of this chapter here in Galatians 3 verse 29. And if ye be Christ. So, and if ye be of Christ. Why does he say that? Because there were in the congregations Gentiles that were still drawn to the world and still drawn to the lusts of the flesh. They were also bewitched. Gentiles who thought, and I can serve the Lord and serve the world, and that can easily go together in my life. But beloved, if that is your opinion, you are terribly mistaken and deceiving yourself for eternity. We heard it already this morning, that old flesh need to be crucified. We need to be buried with Christ and in newness of life be raised with him. So then it becomes new, and that which is old we cannot keep at hand. And there were the Jews in the congregation that also held on to the Jewish laws and that did not want to let those things go. And who thought the works of the law, they are indispensable and they can help me a little bit in my journey to heaven. Paul says, and if ye be of Christ, and that means, who were they then in the past? They were as Gentiles of the world. They were as Jews of outward religion. But they were not of Christ. So there is no difference, beloved. Oh, we can sometimes look upon the world, can't we? And we can look upon those who do not want to have anything to do with God's word. And we can look upon those who have left the truth and turned their back towards it. And we can think that we are a little better. But we are not. Yeah, we are privileged. We are privileged when we may be under God's word. We are privileged when we may hear the truth from Sabbath day to Sabbath day about the necessity and about the wonder and about the way the Lord works in the life of his people. But that is also a huge responsibility. Paul, he does not make a difference between the Jews and the Gentiles here. He says only if ye be of Christ, because whether we boast in our religion, whether we boast in church membership, whether we boast in, now name it, that does not mean that we are in Christ. That does not mean that we are a child of God. We heard that this morning, conceived and born in sin. Children of wrath who cannot come into the kingdom of God except when we are born again. And Paul himself, he can say this because he had learned that in his own life. He says it so clearly in chapter 1 that he profited in the Jews' religion, being more exceedingly zealous in the tradition of his fathers And he was boasting in it. And he said, I'm out of the Jews and of the tribe of Benjamin. And I am blameless according to the works of the law. But he says in chapter 1, but when it pleased the Lord to reveal his son in me. They're on the way to Damascus. And the Lord stopped him. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And where everything that Saul was boasting upon was taken away from him in one single moment. And he who 5 minutes prior could exactly have answered the question that someone in religion might have asked, who is God? And he could have a whole story about it. But there he came on his knees, Lord, whom art thou? He did not know it anymore. And he was boasting prior in the works of the law. And if someone would ask him, what must I do to be saved? He could have told him exactly, you have to keep this law and that law. And then we also have 613 extra laws. But when the Lord stopped him, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? So when Paul says, if ye be, testifying that we are not by nature, then Paul could say that experientially. And that Paul in that street called Straight had cried out unto the living God. Oh Lord, I am standing outside. And I have nothing to stand before thee. And I am not a child of God as I always thought. So it doesn't help us to boast upon membership or on baptism or confession or an office or name it. There is but one thing needful, and that is what we are all missing by nature. And if ye be, so Paul there explains who God's children were. And when God's Spirit starts to work, that is the first thing they learn. In Dutch they would say they have an eertijds. They have a time past. Or with the first point, they learn who they by nature are. Outside of God. Without God for my heart. Without the Savior for my soul. A previous time. When the thunder of the law Paul speaks about in this chapter begins to thunder. And when that law testifies, transgressed one or two, no, all the commandments, when that law must say, cursed are you. When that law does not only have a place for someone else, no, then you won't longer any longer think, hey, when you hear the law in God's house, and when that's lively, and then you don't say, oh, that's a commandment that he can take to heart. And that is something that's meant for him. Because then I become guilty of all the commandments. And then I am worthy. If thou shouldest mark iniquity, who can stand worthy to be cast away. You see, when the Lord converts a sinner and sheds that love and that life in the heart, then they do not say, I am an heir of that promise and I am an heir of that salvation. No, then they say, I am missing that. And I am missing all I cannot miss, be it well, for time and eternity. Oh, then it becomes so real. My father is an Amorite, and my mother a Hittite. That means under God's word, but my life is religion and world all mixed together. Then there comes that godly sorrow that works repentance, not to be repented of who they were. That becomes reality. Is there now such a people? You may experience that. Who bow their knees. And who have those times in the inner room that they must say, Lord, I miss it all what I cannot miss. Grant life unto my soul. O Lord, I pray. Who they are. Because what does the Lord make room for? And if ye be of Christ, what makes a sinner the property of Christ? My works? Baptism? Oh, there are many churches and many people that say, yeah, but I am baptized, so I'm a child of God, except when the opposite becomes clear in my life. What makes a person, what makes a sinner who by nature stands outside, what makes him of Christ? And what makes him an heir of the promise? What? Not anything in man, but everything outside of us. And if ye be of Christ, that starts already in the stillness of eternity, where Paul writes unto the Ephesians that that eternal wonder of his infinite mercy, where now the triune God from the stillness of eternity has opened the way for those that of whom he knew that they would fall away willingly and voluntarily. And of whom he now may say, chosen in him, in Christ, from before the foundation of the world. Or that foundation, that origin, that cause lies not in man, but that lies in the triune God. In his eternal love. And that becomes a wonder for such a people. And they seek it in self. And they seek it in the fruits. When they seek it in the tears. When they seek it in the words. But where they now must learn. The more I try. The more I fail. And if ye be. If ye be. Christ, chosen in him. How do they become of Christ? Because he was sent by his Father in the fullness of the time. Paul may speak about that is in this epistle. That's the main contents of the epistles, isn't it? Christ and him crucified. And how now the Lord makes him precious in the life of a sinner. He who has come in the fullness of the time, not reluctantly, not without willingness, no, he who said, I come to do thy will. And who has now taken upon him the curse of the law for his church. Who has now taken upon him the wrath of God. And who now in full obedience obtain salvation for his people. And if ye be of Christ, how do God's children become of Christ? Ach, at God's sight, they are seen in Christ already from the stillness of eternity. At God's sight, they are all included in his finished work on Calvary's hill, where he said it is finished. But how does that now be applied? Because religion is not just counting and saying, Christ died for sinners and I am a sinner soul. Conclusion. But there is a people that are in desperate need that it be applied. And if ye be of Christ, if ye be Christ, how does the Lord show that? Well, when he in regeneration cuts off a sinner from Adam, from that dead tree, where there is no life, and incorporates them in Christ, grants life unto the soul. And when the Lord grants life in your heart, congregation, do you then right away see I am living? Do you then right away see I am a child of God? No, when the Lord gives life, then you learn I am dead in sins and trespasses. Then you learn I have no life. I miss everything I cannot miss. And if ye be of Christ, then the eyes are opened and I see what I never saw. And then my ears are opened and I hear what I never heard. Then there is a need that is bound on the heart. And that heart may cry out. And to the living God, is there such a people in our midst? Are there now those here in Cortland? No, they don't start so high. But they start in the depth, low, humbled, low, making confession. For my folly now, I mourn. Are there now those here? I may say, oh Lord, I miss it all. And how can I ever receive it? The people that must say, and I've tried my best because there came a change. And when there comes a change of the heart, there comes a change of the life. Yeah. And the things will change, young people, older ones. And you don't say anymore, why should this not happen in my life? And why that not? No. And there comes a change, then there comes a tender life. Like a child does not want to grieve his father, his mother, whom he loves. There comes a desire, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And yet, and then to learn to die at all those things. Because my best works are defiled with sin. And they cannot add anything to my salvation. Where now the Lord makes room for that free and sovereign grace. Where the Lord doesn't give his people rest until they may know, and if ye be of Christ. Shall I give you a simple example, children? There was Ruth. She was a Gentile. The Lord had given a choice in her heart. Thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. Ach, and the Lord had brought her in Israel. And in the Lord's providence, she was brought on the field of Boaz. And she was given to reap. And she was given to receive something. God's children may know that too. They may receive at times something. And the God's word. In God's house. And they search the scriptures. The Lord is not a land of outer darkness for those grieved ones, is he? But did now Naomi tell unto Ruth, Ruth, you've received this and you have received that. And now I believe it is all okay with you. No. She did not give Ruth any rest in the benefits of Boaz and in the fruits from Boaz's field. But she said, Ruth, you have to learn to wait and to sit still until he will complete that matter. Until ye be of Boaz. And that was now such an impossible matter. Why? From whose side that could never happen. Why? Because there was yet someone who first had a right on her. And that was that other man. That is the law. And if ye be of Christ, then I need to die to the law, at the law. Then I must come to the end of the law, as Paul writes in this chapter. The law as a schoolmaster unto Christ. Schoolmaster, one who raises, one who teaches, an instructor, also one who had to punish those children in those days. That also belonged to it. So what is now that law doing? That takes everything away that is of man. That takes the ground out of all the fruits and out of all the works. And out of all my tears, that makes it dry up totally. There comes a time in the life that nothing is left, but how shall I ever be reconciled? Come ye, let us reason together. Oh, and now that sinner learns to see that they are so worthy to die because of the transgressions. But when now the Lord by his Spirit opens their eyes for him who is the end of the law, who has finished the law, and if he be of Christ, there comes a longing, how may I become his? There comes a longing that I may know him. There comes a love for him in their life. And then there is no rest until he appears. I can only bow my head. I can only expect to be cast away. And now the Lord reveals his Son. And when it pleased the Lord to reveal his Son, not only unto me, Paul says in chapter 1, in me, there it becomes true. And if ye be Christ, that sinner is not the first to say to Christ, thou art mine. But there he who received him from eternity, he who bought him with the price, he who appears unto them, oh, he testifies in their heart, I have found the ransom, that he may be delivered from the sin. And if ye be of Christ, how? By that eye of faith Paul speaks about. By faith alone, not by works. Faith without the works of the law, we read it in this chapter, justified by faith in him. But now that eye of faith is opened and that faith is kindled in exercise for him, may he be mine. And I be thine, who they are. And if ye are of Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. You're not Abraham's seed. In Israel, you were not Abraham. Yeah, outwardly you were Abraham's seed when you were born out of Abraham. And when you received the sacrament of circumcision. Outwardly. But then you are Abraham's seed. Paul speaks about it in this chapter, and he speaks also about it in the next chapter. Know ye therefore for 7 that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And then he speaks about the spirit you will see. A difference between Ishmael and Isaac. Children, what was the difference? Ishmael was not born out of Sarah. No, but out of Hagar. But Isaac was born out of Sarah, the free woman. Paul says those that are still working with the law and under the law, they are still bound by the law. But when now Christ may receive his value in our life, and he may become precious, Abraham's seed, a child of God spiritually, not by birth, but by rebirth. And those are not the rich ones, no, those are the poor and needy ones, the beggars at the throne of grace. Those that may learn, I've so often sinned it away. But that lay there at his feet to sigh, we beseech thee by thine infinite mercy. Or how often Israel had made himself worthy that the Lord would make an end. But where now my people may know themselves guilty, then I will remember my covenant, who they are. Where he becomes their refuge and strength, and then also who they will be. We read, and heirs according to the promise. What is now an heir? What is that, children? That is someone whose name is written in the will of someone, in the testament of someone. Paul says in Hebrews 9 that the testament can still be altered, right? But he says it is of force after the testator dieth. Someone can have written a testament and things happen and he changes his will. But after that person who wrote it died, that testament is fixed, that has to be executed. Heirs according to the promise. The Bible speaks about the testament of Christ, about him who died on Calvary's hill for his church. Where lies now the fruit of life? Where lies now salvation sure and secured? Only in the death of Christ. Or God's children here on earth, the one has learned more of it than the other, but they can only say, I know only a little of it. Heir of the according to the promise. And what is now an heir? Someone that will receive later. Children, here on earth, as long as you have father and mother, and I hope you may keep them for a long time, father cares for you, mother cares for you, and they give you things, right? It's all theirs. And they give you things, a little bit here, a little bit there. But the full thing happens once they are not here anymore. Well, spiritually, that is exactly the same. That full salvation awaits for after this life. And what does now the Lord give them in this life? He gives them the foretaste. He gives them already the benefits of it. He gives them already to taste at times his goodness for such a wretch. He gives them the first fruits of it. Here a little, there a little. Because there is a fullness in him that they may become longing for the full inheritance. And the Lord always makes room for that according to the promise. What is that? A privilege to know something about that life of grace, because then the Lord time and again makes room for what? For the first fruits of that inheritance that awaits in eternity for that people. Hear a first fruit of an encouragement. Be of good cheer. There the first fruit of the knowledge of Christ in his name. And they may see something of one of his names or of his offices when that becomes reality for them, or of other things the Lord wants to give. The first fruits of all that lies in him. That's not because of them. That's not because of what they have. No, that's because of what he gives heirs according to the promise. And there the Lord upholds them in the strife. And now the enemies come raging. And by that Saul has no weapons and can only say, "O Lord, uphold me in the strife," and where the Lord gives them that spiritual armor. Heirs according to the promise. Here the Lord gives them the promise of Abraham we read. When Isaac and Jacob, having not received the promise, that means the full fulfillment of the promise that awaited for later. What did Abraham have here on earth? In Canaan. What was the possession Abraham had in Canaan? That was a sepulcher. Nothing more. Abraham had to learn, "I must die." But after death, life was prepared. Heirs according to the promise. And there lies also a foretaste. When the Lord binds the promise on the heart, and the Lord shows, "Here the first fruits." But what I promise, that promise of the covenant of grace that lies secure, what he promised, he will give, he will fulfill. Ah, there is much more to say. But there is a question. Heirs according, not of what they have, but what lies in the triune God, what he obtained by his precious blood. Are we now an heir of the promise? Or are we an heir of God's wrath? We read it in the form for baptism, that wrath of God doesn't come upon us, that rests already upon us. Because we are conceived and born in sin, but an heir of the promise, we can only become by grace. Come, young and old, you're not too young, you're not too old. If ye be of Christ, there lies the crux, there lies the ground, that we then have no rest outwardly, but may be busy, these parents and all parents, in teaching the children according to the word of God. If ye be of Christ, if we do not know that, that we then have no rest, and that the Lord may cancel the rest. If ye be of Christ, and if ye do not, if you cannot deny what the Lord has done in your life, if you cannot deny how the Lord stopped you, may you then already say, "I am of Christ." You say, "Ah, that is so high, I do not dare." But we then have no rest in what has been in the past. That we then have no rest until we may know him and follow on to know him, sighing unto him, beseeching that by his infinite mercy he will graciously look upon us. For blessed is that people, heirs according to the promise, the Lord will. For for his own name's sake, finish most perfectly what he has undertaken, and then the day comes when he delivers them from the strife, when he brings them into glory, where they may sing young and old to his honor. Thou art worthy to receive all the honor and all the glory for thy name's sake. Amen. Almighty Lord, thy word is so full and speaks so honestly, and we could only say a little of it, but we ask of thee that thou wilt extend it in the hearts, applying it by thy Spirit, giving us to meditate, giving us to lay it before thee. We acknowledge thee for thy help. Forgive that was amiss. Bless that which was thine. Go with us. Safeguard and protect us. Bring us in the evening faithfully in thy house again. To hear what thou hast to say unto us, we ask. For Christ's sake alone. Amen. 289. 18 and 19. His sacred word to Abraham. He kept the waiting long. And the lands and toil of wicked man he gave them to possess. 18 and 19 of 289. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.